Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
I appreciate Rabbi Feldman bringing back my Rosh Hashiva to me. The description of all of the various things that he stood for, his midas, and just hearing the words coming from Rabbi Feldman, I could hear the Rosh Hashiva speaking. Rabbi Feldman's connection to Rosh Hashiva is obvious. Just to establish why I'm speaking, I graduated high school in 1987, which coincided with the summer that Rav Ruderman, Zechon Rebracha, the previous Rosh Hashiva, passed away, and Rav Weinberg became the Rosh Hashiva. So I entered the Beis Medrash the same year that the Rosh Hashiva took over as Rosh Hashiva. And then for the 12 years that we had the schus of having him, I was first in the Beis Medrash and then in the Kol, and he was the Rosh Hashiva that established the yeshiva, that made the yeshiva what it was, in which I was able to grow. I shared with the Kol this morning that when the yeshiva passed away, of Weinberg, when the yeshiva passed away, Zechon Rebracha, they had hespedim, of course, at the Levaya, and then throughout the Shiva. And at the end of Shiva, they had a large gathering in the Beis Medrash for a final set of hespedim. And at that hesped, Rav Moshe Brown spoke about the yeshiva. And as he was speaking, in the course of the talk, he happened to mention the previous Rosh Hashiva, Rav Ruderman, Zechon Rebracha. Rabbi Brown was a Talmud of Rav Ruderman. And Rav Ruderman had passed away 12 years earlier. And when Rabbi Brown mentioned Rav Ruderman's name, he burst into tears. And it struck me that even though it was 12 years later, when he mentioned Rav Ruderman, he couldn't compose himself. And in many ways, I feel that way now about Rav Weinberg's Zechon Rebracha. Even though, as Feldman said, this is not a hetz, but it's Divrei Zikaron, but every year, Shivasa B'Tammuz, remembering that horrible, horrible Shivasa B'Tammuz 15 years ago, that very dark time for our yeshiva, it's very difficult to not become emotional. The yeshiva was a yachid b'doiro. He was a singular person. There was nobody like him. He was, as Rabbi Feldman said, he was a genius, and he applied that genius to Torah. It was an amazing thing for us. When he passed away, it shattered us. It literally shattered us. We were able to hear from him weekly in his shmuzin, after Shalashodas, before Meiriv, on Shabbos. And then when there were smaller chaburas that he gave, in addition to the Shirei Klali that he gave, there were smaller chaburas. And we tried to be in as many of those chaburas as we could be in. And I think there are a few things that I can share with you that he said that are relevant to the time that we're in now, and unfortunately these times seem to repeat themselves. First, we were once in a chabura and he was talking about how everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for good, we know that, but how we can't see that we are human beings, and we live in a world of physicality, and when things go bad, if things go wrong, they appear bad to us, and we can't see the good. And he said that it's impossible for a human being to see the good when bad things happen. Bad things happen, they're bad. And the bracha we say on bad things is Baruch Dayan HaEmes. We don't say Baruch HaTov VaHameitiv. We don't say the bracha for good things on bad things because we see the bad. After he said that, one member of the Chabura, one of my colleagues, asked the Rosh Hashiva a question. And in the course of asking the question, he repeated what the Rosh Hashiva had said, which is a typical thing to do. So he said, I'm quoting him now, my friend, he said, so the Rosh Hashiva said that when bad things happen, it's very difficult to see the good. At that moment, the Rosh Yeshiva interrupted him and said, I didn't say it's very difficult. I said it's impossible. To me, that was very, very significant. I've told many people that who go through rough times. Sometimes we feel guilty when bad things happen that we don't see the good. We think we're supposed to see the good in things. And we don't give ourselves the credit that we're human beings and we see the bad because we're human. And when bad things happen, we see them as bad. And there's nothing wrong with that. We should understand that that is our limitation as human beings. Later on, after a long period of time, perhaps we can look back and see something good that came out of something bad. And the recent abduction and murder that took place in Eretz Yisrael, we see bad. It is bad. It's a bad thing that happened. We can't see any good in it. And we're not expected to see good in it. In the winter of 1990-1991, right after, actually in 91 itself, it was the first Gulf War. And at that time, for those who remember that, at that time, there were Scud missiles being shot into Eretz Yisrael. There was no Iron Dome to stop those missiles. And it was a very, very dangerous time. At that time, there were huge nistim that took place. But when it was happening, nobody knew what was going to happen to Klal Yisrael. I remember the first night when they started shooting the missiles. I remember at that time, we were in the Beis Medrash learning during night dinner. And Rav Chaim Kasman came into the Beis Medrash and he banged on the beam and he started saying Tehillim. We were crying openly. It was a terrifying time. So our Chabura met with Rosh Yeshiva and we asked him, how do we deal with such a terrible time? What can we do here in Baltimore, learning in the Beis Medrash? So obviously the learning of Torah is what fuels everything. And that's the schus that Klal Yisrael has. But what can we do specifically to help our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael? And the Rishiva told us, everybody has to do two things. In his inimitable way, he was so specific and he was so sure and confident about how he said it. And he said, everybody has to do two things. He said, number one, everybody must refrain from a tainug, from some sort of pleasure. Everybody has to take something pleasurable in their lives and refrain from it as long as this eis tzara is going on, as long as this terrible time is going on. The purpose of that, he said, was so that each one of us, when we are refraining from that pleasure, we can be mishtatef b'tzar, we can join in the pain of our brothers and sisters. And we can have an appreciation that they're going through something very terrible. At the time when he said it, it seemed funny to me. Especially, I remember the Kabbalah I made personally. He said that refraining from a tainug, from a pleasure, should be an individual decision. Each person on their own, it should not be a communal decision. Each person on their own decide one thing that they'll refrain from. I was a bachur at the time. It's a little comical now thinking about it. At that time, recently in Baltimore at that time, Dunkin' Donuts had gotten a heksher. And I accepted upon myself during the Gulf War that I would not eat anything from Dunkin' Donuts. So I thought to myself, this is ridiculous. I'm supposed to not eat Dunkin' Donuts, and in some way that's going to make me connected to people who have missiles falling on their heads. They can be blown up at any moment. They're living in constant fear. But that was really the whole point. Because it wasn't a question of inflicting pain upon ourselves. It was a question of remembering that there's something happening. And by pulling back from something that otherwise we would have enjoyed, each one of us had a very regular reminder that life cannot go on as usual. When Klal Yisrael is experiencing a tzara, we can't walk around as if nothing is happening. And we have to make a difference in our lives, personally, in a way that will remind us of what's going on. That was the first thing he said. Every one of us had to accept upon ourselves some refraining from some pleasure. And the second thing he said was, this, he said, should be done communally. Or in our case, it was our particular group, but he said it should be done as a group. And that is that the group should decide amongst ourselves something that would be done proactively. And this proactive mitzvah or zehirus of some sort of special thing, should be, he said, specifically in the area of dibor, of speech. Now to this day, I don't know if he had some insight into that particular time that he felt that it should be in the area of speech, or if he felt that always it should be in the area of speech. But that's what he said. He said, whatever you want to do, but it should be in the area of speech, and it should be something that you accept upon yourselves as a group. And we as a group at that time, remember we were Bachram learning in Yeshiva, at that time we accepted upon ourselves one hour of Seder in the morning, I believe it was from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock in the morning, that all of us, we sat generally near each other in the Beis Medrash, that if any one of us saw another one of our group who was not speaking and learning, that was taking a little time to schmooze and wasn't actually concentrating on learning, that we would be able to turn around and mun the other person and scold the other person and say, hey, you're supposed to be learning now. And every one of us accepted that we would accept that criticism, and we would not, normally a person has difficulty accepting criticism, but we would accept that we would both criticize each other at that time, accept the criticism, and refrain from using our mouths in the wrong way, which during Seder means anything but learning. That was the way that we put into practice what the Yeshiva had told us. Ever since that time, whenever there is, God forbid, a Tzar on Klal Yisrael, I know I personally apply those rules of the Yeshiva. Refraining from something pleasurable and accepting a proactive approach, something to do with speech. I don't know, and unfortunately nobody knows, whether the Yeshiva would say the same thing today or not. Because we don't have him. And that's the most painful part of the whole thing. So all we have then is to replicate that which we went through at the time. Seems to me that the Tzar on Klal Yisrael today, similar to that time, deserves at least the same response. May the schus, merit of the Yeshiva, the great life that he led, all the Torah he learned, and the incredible way that he taught all of us, it should be a schus for Klal Yisrael, and it should be a source for the ending of all of our tzaras. Yehi zecho baruch.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.